We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a beautiful Tuesday, April 16 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. The sun is shining in Metairie. And we're going to bring you all the way up to the pregame show leading into the 16th playing of the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love and joined right out of the chute by our man Wally Pontiff Sr. I don't know who you paid off in the meteorology department, but this is a thing of beauty.
Well, Ben, I made a call to Wally and asked him to put a quarter in the sun machine, so we got it.
It's a beautiful day for baseball. I do want to get into everything we're going to see. LSU, UL, the final time for now. It'll be the sixth time that these two have played in the 16 meetings with the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic. The previous five have been decided by four runs or less. But, you know, you and I were having a conversation off air. We need to bring it on air. You had the opportunity to watch your son, Wally Jr., your other son, Nicholas, play at so many different levels of baseball. What was your favorite? And I'm talking about watching them, but then also coaching them, because we know you did that as well.
My favorite time, I would say, Ben, would be the 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, where they still want to learn. They're sponges. You can influence them, teach them about the game of life and the game of baseball. And more important, that then when they leave you, they can go to the coach, and then they can do their own thing as they get there. But that was my best time as a coach and as a father. But I was a dad first. Just wanted to let you know that. The other part, watching the game, I enjoyed them all from high school to college. Didn't realize how big LSU was from a perspective of a parent. And because the people, they know your son, but they want to touch you too. And I'm saying, I ain't got nothing to do with it. So it was a beautiful thing, and how they embrace you, the fans and the people of LSU. It's been an awesome day. Awesome.
Ben Love live at the Shrine on Airline, and we're joined. He's our leadoff man, Wally Pontiff Sr. In a few moments, we'll talk about the Wally Pontiff Jr. Foundation and some of the new things you all continue to do to help not only youth baseball, but just kids in New Orleans at LSU and throughout the state of Louisiana. When you think of LSU versus UL, my guess is you would say times have changed a little bit. It's been heated, but boy, this has just been really solid baseball between programs and coaches that have respect for each other lately.
You know what? I love Coach Robichaux. I've always loved him since he was took the job. The rivalry against LSU and Lafayette has been awesome. His team plays with just energy. They have class, and they play the game the right way. And he has been such a wonderful guy. I'm going to miss him after this year, but hopefully we'll get him back soon. Their team, their university, their fans have been terrific.
And no traffic. Well, knock on wood. I didn't have any because I came early, but it was easy coming over on I-10, and you expect another sellout tonight.
I think we should be somewhere around the 9,000, 10,000 mark. And I want to thank the people from this area and all over that come every year to play in this game and to see the LSU Tigers and ULL tonight. One of the biggest reasons why this happened is because of Skip Bertman, I mean, the legend. But more important, I wanted people to see LSU because Wally, growing up, never saw LSU play until he put a uniform on at Tiger Stadium opening day, because he was playing all the time on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So this gives him a chance to see LSU live, and it's been a wonderful thing. And it's all for the kids to see how important it is to get an education and to meet friends for a lifetime.
And I think fans of LSU and UL are going to see some of the other guys tonight. What do I mean by that? Paul Maneri has said recently maybe 23 of his but 23 of his 35-man roster are healthy for tonight. I know for Tony Robichaux on the Cajun side, they're dealing with a bit of a mass unit as well. So I expect a lot of pitchers tonight, as both of these teams have to turn around and play big series starting on Thursday. I think you're going to get to see some youth tonight in this ballgame.
Oh, I think so, Ben. And more important, that both of these teams want to win one tonight.
That's right.
You want to take that that win into the next series. And LSU's got Florida, and I think y'all got Texas.
Texas Arlington.
And so that's big series there. And more important, I think they want to, the young guys who are going to get opportunity to show them they can do something.
I don't have any doubt about it. Now, we got to talk a little bit about the future. This time next year, it'll be LSU versus Tulane, and that's a place where, hey, you've got a lot of connections. You coached there for a time, so a lot of love for the Green Wave and an opportunity to bring a little different flavor into this ballpark, but I'm sure to continue packing it out.
Oh, I think it's going to be great. I think I've always wanted Tulane and LSU to play. And bringing it back, they missed a game this year, bring it back and play at Zephyr at the Shrine is a beautiful thing for us. They excited. They wanted to do it. We wanted them to do it. And got Coach Maneri, we all agreed. And I think we'll have that same kind of crowd.
How much, if at all, as we continue our conversation with Wally Poniff Sr., does it change things that there won't be a AAA organization here anymore? I know that the Baby Cakes will be moving on, and that's sad for the area, but doesn't change things for the Poniff Classic, correct?
No, well, hopefully not, but I'm going to have a meeting right after this game. I'm going to start talking to some people in the parish, find out what direction they're going in. We hope that we can continue the game as long as I'm here and love to play it right here. We got to see what's going to happen. I know they work on an opportunity to have a double-A team come into here. Whatever it is, we thank the people with the Baby Cakes have made it special, all the people that run the park. But there's a special young man, Alex Knutson, who's been unbelievable, who puts this all together, works real good with us. And we're excited. I think that we'll be here next year. Absolutely.
I don't have any doubt. I have to ask you now about the work that you and your family and your friends from all around this community, this state, and the world continue to do with the Wally Poniff Jr. Foundation. Again, I'll encourage our listeners to go to the website, do what you can to assist Wally Poniff Jr., that's J-R, not spelled out, wallyponiffjr.org. This thing has spread like wildfire. The things you're able to do, it's just got to set you on fire.
It makes us feel great. And the reason why, Wally always told me, so when he graduates, if he goes to pro ball or doc, he wants to give back. We're just keeping his dream alive. And what we do, we don't have any specifics what we do, but every year we get a bunch of names from our board and we put them together and we pick 10 people, 10 groups, and we send out a check to each one of those. Don't even tell them our name or nothing, just mail a check out, and it's almost Christmas in July. And we've touched a lot. And just a little few of the places, Son of the Saint, Pause for Vets, Delgado Baseball, St. Jude, Cancer Research, Sister Service of Merit, Miracle League, Jesuit, LSU, Delgado. I mean, all of the playground, we built cages, kids to be a part. So there's so many that, and we weren't specific where we wanted to go. We wanted to just leave it open.
I can tell you this, in the hallway of the press box, right before the show started, I ran into Ronnie Rance, and I arm wrestled him into coming on this show later. He'll do that in the 6 o'clock hour. But he said, when you see Wally, remind him that I grew up playing on some of the parks that now the foundation is helping to subsidize and improve. And I mean, just how cool is that, generationally making a difference?
It makes us feel tremendous. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if Wally would be happy that we're doing a game in his name. He's happy that we are giving back to the community. So we love coming and doing this, but he would rather not do it, if he was here. But more important, he knows we're doing it for the love of the game and love of people to help young kids who never got an opportunity to see LSU play or never had an opportunity to really watch the game of baseball. And we go to these parks, they're excited, and we're excited to see them.
I had a moment during some research earlier that blew me away, and I wanted to share it with you. We're scheduled to have Ryan Terrio on the program in the 5 o'clock hour. Ryan and Wally played right here in front of us in April of 2000. It was LSU versus UL. Then at Zephyr Field, it was an 8-2 win. I'm sorry, let me back that up. It was April 2001 they played here. 12-7, it was a win for LSU. Ryan led off, had a 3-run triple. Wally batted in the 3-hole and scored a run right here in front of where you and I are looking right now. When you think back on games and memories like that, and it's still these two programs, I know a different coach on one side, how incredible.
That's a beautiful thing. When you see these kids, I wanted those kids at LSU or you all to get the same feeling I had when I watched my son. I wanted those parents to know. And it's been a beautiful thing. And to know that they were here one day playing. And then I had my son Nicholas come and play. We played UNO the longest game. I think it was 15 innings. We ended up winning, you know. And he played that game, got a big hit. And, you know, that's, to me, tops it off.
This night has to mean something to you and your family that I can't even imagine, but I know you, and you like talking shop when it comes to baseball. In fact, we were doing it before the program started. You feel pretty good about this LSU pitching staff. It's just a matter maybe of some of the hitting coming around.
I do. I think LSU's pitching staff is going to help them carry them through. Sometimes you got your hitting, sometimes you got – I think the pitching staff, their focus, I think the starters are going to give – and I think – you know, as we go further, I think any two out of three series, we should be able to win. I think our pitchers are good enough, and the closers, great, Fontenot and those guys, and Peterson and all. So I'm excited about the LSU Tigers, and I think they're going to play better ball as we go forward and get healthy.
You seem especially excited about the prospects of Cole Henry, this freshman out of Alabama.
Oh, I think this guy is a big league pitcher. Got a great demeanor on the mound, very focused, very polished. Very smooth. Mine's a little bit of Aaron Nola. I think this boy's got nothing but upside. And when he goes, he comes right at you.
And, Wally, it's interesting you mentioned Jesuit High earlier. You've got a special connection with that great institution. But it also produced a kid that's playing on the UL side right now. And this time 2 years ago, you and I were talking about Jack Burke, who played, I believe, as a redshirt freshman, started this game 2 years ago. I don't think we'll see him tonight because he's become pretty integral over the weekends for Tony Robichaud, but that's got to be a kick for you.
Oh, I love Jack. I knew his family. I see relatives of his, and he dates a young lady that I know's family very well. More important, that I wanted LSU to give a shot at him, and they decided that they had some other people in mind. I knew he was going to mature. It looks like he got bigger. He's weighing about 220 now, 215, and he's healthy. And I'm happy for him, and hopefully he'll get a shot at pro ball.
Wally, as always, we come right out of the chute with you. We love doing this. Thank you for welcoming us in. Anything else that you want to tell our listeners throughout the Acadiana area, people streaming, please let them know.
I love to tell them, well, make sure you tell your mom and dad, your children, you love them every day. Give them a hug. Don't take anything for granted. Each day is a special day. And, Ben, you're doing a great job of delivering this message, so I thank you.
You know, we appreciate you. Wally Pontiff Sr., and again, we're going to encourage our listeners, visit the website, wallypontiffjr.org. Hopefully I see you before next year, my friend.
My man, Ben, you're invited anytime.
I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
I appreciate everything.
Thank you.
And really, it's going to be a tremendous night for baseball. Let me tell you quickly about our guest list, and we'll hit our opening break. Paul Maneri is going to join us at 4:30, LSU baseball head coach. At 5:15, The Riot. I kind of gave that one away, didn't I? Ryan Terrio won a national championship at LSU, 2 World Series, 1 for the Cardinals, 1 for the Giants. He'll be with us at 5:15. Phil Devey, first-team All-American pitcher for the Raging Cajuns, hopping aboard at 5:45. And then Jumbo Ronnie Rance, it's good when you can get him right outside of the press box. That is easy pickings. He'll be with us at 6:15. Big program today. B2BS taking you right up until the pregame show. LSU versus UL at 6:30. So don't go anywhere. We're coming right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Just living right to be here right now and having just talked to that man. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back out to Metairie at the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game. LSU has arrived. Right now they're warming up in the purple caps, purple tops, and the pinstripe white pants, at least the best that I could tell from here. Cajuns haven't yet arrived. Our thanks again to Wally Pontiff Senior. That's the way you come out of the gate. You want to get in on the conversation? We got some time for you. 706-0111. And before our sink or swim questions of the day, here's what's at stake tonight. Number 14 LSU versus UL. The Tigers 24-13 overall, 9-6 in the SEC, a game off the lead atop the SEC. UL, 19-20, 8-7 in Sunbelt Conference play. Neither team has announced the starting pitcher for this ball game yet. We'll talk to Paul Mainieri momentarily. I get the feeling they may trot out a number of arms tonight, especially young arms. And as I told you in the opening interview, Mainieri indicated to reporters yesterday, LSU may have 23 healthy players tonight on its 35-man roster. Cajuns is dealing with their own hiccups in the injury department as well. This will be the 16th playing of the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic. Sixth time between LSU and UL. Previous five meetings were all decided by four runs or less. And Clint, I got to take you, my friend, into the Wayback Machine, because these are some interesting names on both sides. Last year was UL's only win out of the previous five meetings in the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic. It was a 3-1 win. Hogan Harris picked up the W for Tony Robichaud and the Cajuns. Harris, of course, now playing minor league baseball. The starter for LSU in this game a year ago, get ready for this, Tiger fans, A.J. Labus. Yeah, that guy. He actually took the L in this game. Kenan Fontenot, the senior, had two RBIs in the Cajuns' win. The previous four contests between the two all were LSU victories. But this is significant. It's not just for bragging rights. It's not just because, well, one team wears purple and gold and the other vermilion and white. Both of these sides need to get off to a good start this week. LSU will be at home versus Florida Thursday through Saturday. UL at Texas Arlington Thursday through Saturday. All UTA has done so far is rattle off an 11-4 record in the Sun Belt. They lead the SBC. So this one tonight means an awful lot. All right, CD, set her up. Put it on a tee for me. Give me the music, and then I got some questions.
Love, exciting and new.
Your sink or swim questions of the day. It's the same on both sides of the aisle. Who is your favorite LSU baseball player of all time? And for our Cajuns fans, who is your favorite UL baseball player of all time? For bonus credit, give us one of each. And this is one you can take and knock it out of the park whatever direction you want. 706-0111. Clint, you're up first.
All right, Ben. I got to go with the Raging Cajuns to start things off. And I got to wind up leaning towards Scott Doman, one of the star pitchers off of that fantastic class of 2000 Raging Cajuns baseball team that got to the College World Series. The dude was just phenomenal all the way around. Great pitcher, great guy in general. Wound up going to the major leagues. Liked what I saw from him when I was growing up seeing him play. Another one I got to throw out there as a 1B has to be Brad Salum. The guy, whenever I was in middle school, was just hitting nukes out there on a consistent basis. It was amazing to see what he could do.
Let's take some from our listeners. We got time here. 706-0111. For me, I'll go a little more historical when it comes to the Cajuns, right? And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You can call me old-fashioned. How do you not go with Louisiana Lightning? You got to, right? You have to at least consider, at this point, going with Ron Guidry. But I'll tell you, if I'm going more modern era, BT was awfully special. A guy that's getting some run occasionally with the Cincinnati Reds, Blake Trahan, special player in the history of the program. Growing up in Baton Rouge, being the age that I am, it was hard not to gravitate toward a cat like Eddie Furness. And now what's interesting is you watch Antoine Duplantis is chasing him. The guy from Mississippi State is running after him as well in terms of the most hits in the history of the SEC. And it was incredible to watch the way that Eddie Furness raked. And for me, that's a guy that I would put toward the tip-top of my list. And it's just one of those things. When you watched him, the looping swing, the fact that he did it just so consistently, boy, it was really, really, really hard to not gravitate toward that guy. But Clint, I wanted to at least trot this out there. Later in the show, we're going to have Phil Devey on the program. Phil, from 97 to 99, racked up the most strikeouts by any pitcher in Raging Cajun history. That includes Ron Guidry. That includes so many of the greats that have come through. So I had to put that in perspective. Give a little credit to our guy, Phil Devey. But amazing when you look at Ron Guidry, and obviously what he accomplished as a member of the New York Yankees. But, look, came through the program in what was then Southwestern Louisiana, a combined 12-5 record, almost a 2, an even 2.00 earned run average as a two-year letterman in 1969 and 1970. So, statistically, you think about that, and it just doesn't happen in this day and age. The idea that somebody's going to hover around the 2 ERA mark. So just absolutely incredible. And we've got a great atmosphere for baseball coming up. I have to do the show, as you know, beginning at 4. So I always get here about 2:45, 3 o'clock. At that point, pretty equal parts, LSU and UL out in the parking lot. And there was a lot going on in terms of cooking, certainly a good bit of drinking. And like I told you, it was 2:45 p.m. when I first was making my way through the parking lot. So everybody's certainly getting prepared in the way that they need to, the way that they want to, for the 16th playing of the Wally Poniff Jr. Classic. And I'll be able to take you down memory road, memory lane, whatever it is for you, a little more as the program proceeds, because it hasn't always been LSU versus UL. And obviously after this year, it'll change the two lane, but the Tigers have had other opponents in this game. Southeastern, Southern, Southern Miss, UNO, Rice. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. Plus, LSU's history in this building at the Shrine on Airline and, you know, what it used to be, Zephyr Field. So we got a lot more historically coming up about this game. As soon as we can get a pulse on who the starting pitchers are going to be, some of the actual strategies that will be rolled out tonight, we'll make sure to get that to you as well. But anytime you come this far, you got to thank those that brought you to the dance. We got great local businesses excited about tonight's game, excited about another B2BS broadcast in Metairie. And so the tip of our cap to Metairie's Kitchen Supply. First Turn in Scott, Acadian Pond, Lafayette Marble and Granite, Adam Andrews with Katy Real Estate, Nolan's Lawnmower, Louisiana Hot Stuff, and Gaddy's Pizza in Crowley, Eunice, and Jennings. Busy show today. We let off with Wally Poniff Sr. On the other side of this break, the head coach of LSU baseball, Paul Mainieri. He's been involved in almost all of these Wally Poniff Jr. Classic games. We'll let him tell you about it, what this game means to him, and how the Tigers try to get off the mat after an uncomfortable and cold weekend in Como, Columbia, Missouri. Don't forget Ryan Terrio, Phil Devey, a legend each for LSU and UL baseball, scheduled from the 5 o'clock hour, and Jumbo Ronnie Rantz, he's going to be on the TV call of this game, along with our guy, Lynn Rollins, a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. Ronnie's hopping aboard at 6:15. We're just getting started. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Metairie on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back into the Shrine on Airline, getting you closer to LSU versus UL baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Special edition of the show here in Metairie on 103.7 The Game. Our pleasure now to welcome aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline a man who's going to be busy tonight, LSU baseball head coach Paul Mainieri. Coach, welcome aboard. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. And look, I know we need to talk X's and O's, and I'm sure that we will. But when I come to this ballpark and when I think of this particular game, we just had Wally Poniff Sr. on earlier in the hour, so it means so much more than just baseball to a lot of people. What has the Poniff Classic come to mean to you?
Well, this is the 13th year. I've been here in the 13th year. We've done the Wally Poniff Classic. And it's the main purpose, of course, is to raise funds for the Wally Poniff Foundation, which helps a lot of different organizations throughout South Louisiana. In the name of Wally Poniff Jr., a young man that was a real role model, you know, the type of person he was, besides being a great ball player, he was an outstanding student and was such an outstanding young man. And, you know, to be taken, you know, from this earth at such a young age must have been so tragic at that time to the parents and everybody that loved LSU and LSU baseball. And it's our way of kind of keeping his memory alive and, you know, continuing to use him as a role model for our current players to know that it's one thing to be a baseball player. It's another thing to be an all-around person and do the right thing.
Coach, along those lines, I understand that next year the opponent will shift. It will be LSU versus Tulane, and I know some of that wasn't necessarily in your hands, and it's not that it's what you don't want to play UL. It just changes, and we get that. But what has Tony Robichaud and the Cajuns' connection to this game meant over the last half decade or so?
Well, we get along great. The staffs of UL and LSU, and we've always enjoyed the competition with them. They obviously bring a good fan following to New Orleans, and it's always a real exciting ball game. Both teams are out there playing hard, wanting to win very badly. And year in and year out, we've had great ball games with UL, and I would expect each year to be no different.
Talking with Coach Paul Maneri on 103.7 The Game, getting ready for the 2019 Wally Poniff Classic, knowing that you've got a road series and that it starts a night early on Thursday. How, if at all, does that affect the way that you and Alan Dunn will use the pitching tonight?
Well, it'll affect it dramatically, of course. The series of Florida starts on Thursday, and it's obviously going to be a tough series. It always is with those guys. We're one game out of first place in the SEC. So, those games are obviously of paramount importance. I wish, as I'm sure Tony wishes, that he could just pitch his top guy or whatever, have a real great ball game from that standpoint, but it just can't happen. When you have the games all bunched up together, you just got to try to piece it together and keep everybody available for the weekend and give yourself a chance to win this game as well. So it's definitely a challenge, and it makes it really difficult. It'd be nice if we just played a weekend series and could match our best pitchers, but you can't always do it that way.
I guess who are some of the young men that you'd like to get some work tonight on the bump and, if possible, stretch you through to save arms for going to Gainesville?
Well, there's going to be a lot of guys out there. If I started naming them, it'd probably take this interview a little bit too long. But it wouldn't surprise me if you saw 8 or 9 different pitchers out there.
Coach, when you consider the weekend that was at Missouri, I know you won't make any excuses and your team won't either, but what was it that went wrong, especially at the plate, and some of the things you're hoping to correct moving forward?
Well, I think first we should say what went right. We were able to beat them the opening game in a tremendous ball game. It wasn't a very orthodox game. You'd think on Friday night it'd have a better chance of being 2-1 instead of 12-11, but we lost our starting pitcher after 7 pitches of the first game, and that obviously put us in a very difficult situation. But we found a way to fight and continue to battle and took a lead. They came back and tied the game, and we ended up winning the ball game. The last 2 games didn't go our way. First of all, Missouri has a great pitching staff. They're number 1 in the league in pitching with a team earned run average of 2.02, so nobody really hits those guys very much. And then, on top of everything else, it was very, very cold and windy and just not a great hitter's environment. So we got out of there with 1 win, and, it's better than not getting out of there with any win. So, it doesn't really matter if you win a series or lose a series. It really just matters what the final tally at the end of the year is going to be over the 30 games. We're 9-6 right now and 1 game back of first place, so after the first half of the season, 3 of our 5 series were on the road. We're only 1 game back, so I like our position.
Another few moments to Coach Paul Maneri on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Any updates at this point you could share with us in terms of injuries, especially some that maybe cropped up over the weekend in Missouri?
I wish I could. I really don't have any information for you. Everybody's kind of day-to-day, and we just got to see how they progress. I just don't know. I couldn't even fathom a guess on when any of those guys that got hurt this weekend will be back. Of course, I'm talking about Chris Reed, Zach Watson, and Zach Hess. They all pulled leg muscles within the first 11 innings there. And, we had to fight through that. And now we've got to look to the future and hopefully get them back as soon as we can. But I really don't have any time frame for when they all might be back.
Coach, the first week I started my show in Acadiana, it's been about 4 years at this point. You marveled at the talent that comes out of that area. A number of those kids end up on your team. Some have been on Tony's. Some have gone through the LSU UNIS program and gone all over the country. I guess how would you reflect, now that it's some 4 years later, at, again, the talent that continues to churn out from some of the bigger programs in Arcadiana area.
Yeah, well, it's a hotbed for baseball in Louisiana. Continues to be. The coaches there, the high school programs, are doing a great job, and you know the kids work real hard to develop their talents, and you know hopefully we can continue to get a player here and there, you know, from out of Lafayette and the surrounding area. It's really good baseball, and it certainly makes our program better.
Coach, I know it's a busy day. Thank you for dropping in. Best of luck tonight, you and the Tigers. We'll be watching.
Okay, Ben. My pleasure.
And trust me, the man is even more of a trooper than YP. You people out there in listener land may even know, maybe you've seen it on the news last night, some of the interviews the coach did with the media in Baton Rouge, but yeah, he's a bit under the weather. So hopefully a trip here, some better weather, cross your fingers, knock on wood, in Metairie will make him right. But yeah, he went into Como, Columbia, Missouri, with a little bit of a touch of the flu, and with that weather, some snow, it didn't exactly help things. So maybe you heard a little bit there, but we appreciate him soldiering through. It's his 13th go in the Wally Pontiff Classic. This is our fourth go. I believe we've had Coach Palminteri on every single time. So again, one heck of a way for us to start off our number one. But we got plenty more coming at you. Scheduled interviews with Ryan Terrio, Phil Devey, and a lot more. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to the Shrine on Airline, getting you ready for the Wally Pontiff Classic on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Back out to the Shrine on Airline and barreling down on the 5 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. We got some fired up guests that are coming in the 5 o'clock hour. I just got a text from Phil Devey. And he said, I'm ready to talk some LSU-UL smack. Our guy's ready to go. Ryan Terrio, I don't know if we'll get him to go in that direction. You know we're going to try, but I had some real fun looking up the history of these two teams, especially the games that Terrio played in. And understand this. I grew up in Baton Rouge. Ryan Terrio, a legend out of Broadmoor High School, played at LSU 99-01. And something that Wally Pontiff Sr. said as we opened our show today has kind of resonated with me. In fact, I can't even distinguish if it was on air right before, but the guy scored the game-winning run in the College World Series, beating Stanford in 2000, and one of the cappers to win it for the San Francisco Giants in 2012. I don't know if that's ever been done before, and I get it that a lot of the best players to ever make it to the show came out of high school, so maybe some of them didn't have that chance. But still, looking forward to bringing the Riot on our program today. We stole him away from Moscona at least for a couple of seconds. It's okay. Those two can live without the bromance for a little bit. But Terrio played against UL a couple of times at the Box in April 2000. One of the things I enjoyed looking back into that game, attendance at the Box, and obviously, yeah, this would be the old Box, 8,622 people. And that was described in the article I read as one of the biggest and most highly attended games ever at home at that point. And so, yeah, April, Y2K, Ryan Terrio had an RBI double. LSU beat UL 8-2 in that ball game. Fast forward a year later, they played right in front of our eyes. April 2001, it was LSU over UL 12-7. Terrio had a three-run triple. And Wally Pontiff batted third in that game, scored a run. So it's amazing that we talk about these things, and especially the further we get removed from Wally Pontiff Jr.'s life, and now that we're celebrating it, honoring him, and keeping the tradition going, it's amazing to think of when these guys were all together and cooking. So I'm looking forward to visits from Ryan Terrio, Phil Devey, in our 5 o'clock hour, both sides of the aisle in this game. You want to call in? We got some time before the Riot comes aboard at 5:15. 706-0111. How about a little bit more when it comes to the history of this game? Tigers lead the all-time series with the Cajuns 55-26. First time they played, Neither Ryan nor Phil Devey, or a guest we're having later today, Ronnie Rantz, played in this game. 1912. They've been playing this one for quite some time. Paul Maneri has an 11-5 career mark against UL. Prior to last year, it was 11-3. So the Cajuns got the better of the Tigers in this game. 3-1 last year. Hogan Harris with the win in that one. A.J. Labus with the loss. Yeah, things have changed in just a year's time. But the Cajuns also won an extra inning thriller at the Teague last year, I believe 4-3 over LSU. So two in a row, the Cajuns have scratched across in this series, one in the Wally Ponham Jr. Classic. But it's not an exclusive Tigers-Cajuns deal. And we know that because next year it'll change up, right? It'll be Tulane that's playing LSU here. But all time, LSU is 12-3. In this Wally Ponov Jr. Classic game. Began in 2004 as the Skip Bertman era was dwindling down. And that year, Tigers posted a 9-3 win over Southeastern. But if you look at the all-time marks, LSU has spread the love a little bit, and most of it's been in-state, not all of it. Tigers beat Southeastern the one time we mentioned in 2004. LSU also played Rice in this ball game two times over and split those games. LSU also 1-1 versus UNO, as we've enumerated, 4-1 against the Raging Cajuns, 4-0 LSU has been against Southern Miss in this ball game, and 1-0 in the only meeting over the Southern University Jaguars. So yeah, this is one that, as I mentioned, the Tigers have spread it around a little bit, but I think they've had a lot of fun with the Cajuns as their chief competitor over the last half decade plus. Now, they hadn't been six consecutive games. Once you count tonight, they did take a little bit of a break, but they played four in a row heading into this one. As we mentioned last year, Cajuns won 3-1. Ken Infantino with two RBIs helped to really provide the difference, and we'll see about tonight, because typically this game has had one very distinct storyline. It's been LSU coming with whole staff. Jack, Johnny, whoever, doesn't matter. They throw five, six, seven guys in this game. And typically the Cajuns come with somebody like Hogan Harris last year, who, if you recall, was coming back from injury, and this was one of the games where he really cemented that he was back, that he was right. 2 years ago, it was a redshirt freshman in Jack Burke from Jesuit High School. The Cajuns typically have had someone in this game who they want to go 5 to 6 innings. I don't get the sense that's going to be the case tonight for either team. And so I would set an early over-under at 14.5, 15.5 total pitchers in this game. If you're a sports writer like, oh, I don't know, say Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser that's sitting to my left, you might be here and writing stories long past deadline. This one could last quite some time. Again, the start time is 7 o'clock. I think they're going to play for a while. I think you'll see a number of pitchers in this game. And, you know, one thing that's been discussed in the press box, Paul Maneri told you in that interview, he thinks they might throw as many as 9 guys tonight. Well, what's the harm in trotting Clay Moffitt out and trying to get some of the 4- and 5- inning efforts he's given you recently in the midweek? I think the counter to that, what we continue to discover, is maybe, just maybe, with a Thursday through Saturday set, they might be counting on Clay Moffitt against Florida coming to the box this weekend. So pitching tonight is going to be a different setup than maybe what we're used to. I want to tell you that's going to be benefit Cajuns, but I'm not completely sure about that. UL as a team batting .261 this year. Their primary power source has been Hansa Monica, team-high 9 homers, 24 RBIs, and they've been a team that hasn't run all that often, but they've run fairly well, 69 steals and 96 attempts. So are the Cajuns going to be able to manufacture runs at a higher rate tonight? Don't know about that. But if they're going to see some more of LSU's other guys, if LSU's a little more disjointed than usual, yeah, we'll see if that somehow is a benefit to Coach Robe and the Vermilion and White. On the LSU side of things, I don't think they really know who they're going to see tonight. As far as mound presence, I'm not sure they particularly care. They're just trying to find a way to get back into the win column. Dropping 2 out of 3 in Columbia, Missouri, it's something that I don't think has put as much of a dent in the confidence of this team as a lot of the injuries have. And so the idea that they're only going to have, what, 23 healthy guys out of a 35-man roster tonight, 11 position players that might be able to go, well, yeah, it's no secret that they're going to maybe cycle in a lot of arms, because they really can't cycle out anybody when it comes to in the field, at the dish. So So both these teams a little bit hamstrung by injuries. And I think because of a Thursday through Saturday series, LSU again versus Florida, the Cajuns traveling to take on Sunbelt leaders UT Arlington, this one might just go down a little bit differently. So I'll be curious to see exactly who that benefits most. But again, one thing I can't almost guarantee you, make sure to settle in because it could be a long one. All right, one more historical note. Had this one circled. Want to make sure to get to it in hour number one. LSU didn't just begin playing here for some of these Pontiff Classics. They didn't just begin playing here in the late 90s. In fact, the Tigers' first game at the former Zephyr Field occurred in 1998 versus Tulane. LSU has an all-time record of 25-13 at the AAA minor league facility. And now we know it's a part of the Miami Marlins organization. That has not always been the case. And one thing we also understand, and it was a bit bittersweet, conversation with a few staffers here at the Shrine on Airline prior to the show, they know that everybody's transitioning and that they'll be moving on from this location after the 2019 season. So we'll see exactly what that means. But so far, Baby Cakes still part of the Pacific Coast League, and they'll ride this one out and then head off into the sunset and for greener pastures, at least depending on what state you live in. So we got a big-time baseball game coming up tonight, LSU versus UL. 7 o'clock is your first pitch. Clint and I bringing you home and into your pregame show at 6:30. And we're here according to some great sponsors. Want to make sure to thank them again as we close down our 4 o'clock hour. Tip of the cap to Louisiana Hot Stuff, David and Company at the corner, Collie Sloom and Ambassador Caffrey, outfitting Cajuns and Tigers fans, as well as Astros fans. We want to thank Nolan's Lawnmower, Gaddy's Pizza and Crowley, Unison Jennings, Adam Andrews with Katie Real Estate, Metter's Kitchen Supply, Acadian Pond, First Turn in Scott, and my friend Chris Smith and Company at Lafayette Marble and Granite. Proud to be here. Do believe this is my fourth year to broadcast from the Shrine on Airlines / Zephyr Field. They could change the name, but we just keep coming with the same great programming. All right, CD, let's wind down hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Trickery. I wonder if we'll have a little bit of uniform trickery tonight. I'll have a little fun with this one. Don't mind reminding you or telling you, I believe it was 2 years ago that we saw LSU come out and a lot of black on black, right? So they had the black warm-up tops, looked like they had black pants on. I said, man, this one might be a little different. Then they took it off and there was some purple. And then they went in the locker rooms, changed, and it turned into like gray or something like that. Are we getting uniform trickery again tonight? Don't know, but I'll make sure to keep you abreast of that. Plus, I think there's some webbing, some netting playing tricks on me a little bit. Told you earlier, looked like LSU was wearing the pinstripe pants. No, just the white pants. But like I said, the netting, well, it gives you some black stripe look. So already a little uniform trickery, at least in the eye of the beholder. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. We got 90 minutes to go. Ryan Terrio, Phil Devey, Ronnie Rance, all hopping aboard. Special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Shrine on Airline on 1037 The Game. Ben Love live from Metairie. Having a blast. I'll give you a scene setter as we draw closer to the 16th playing of the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic. The famous Clint D, per the use, joining us from the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237 7663. Busy program today. We've already had two guests. We'll add two more this hour. Ryan Terrio, about 10 minutes from right now, so make sure you stick around for that. And we get our Cajuns fixed, too. Phil Devey coming in throwing smoke at 5:45. This will be the sixth meeting between these two programs. In the Classic, LSU has taken four of the previous five. All of the previous five decided by four runs or less. So you can count on this one being a tight ball game. As we've said a few times, I believe you should count on it being a long ball game. I'm setting the over-under. It's somewhere between 14.5 and 15.5. I think that's a fair number. I think you could bet either side of that and maybe get a 50-50 split. If I'm the Westgate Las Vegas Sportsbook, I'm going in somewhere about that. The number of pitchers that are throwing in tonight's game, as both are dealing with a lot of injuries. I see Paul Menary walking in front of me now, watching his team take batting practice. If you heard Paul in our 4 o'clock hour, he's a touch under the weather. He had some of that going into the series at Missouri, but certainly cold weather, snow in Columbia didn't help things for him. And his team comes in also a little cold because of it. LSU's still the number 14 team in the country, 24-13 overall at 9-6. Tigers one game off the pace, leading the SEC. Georgia and I believe Mississippi State still a game clear of the Bayou Bengals. On the other side, UL, Cajuns were able to take 2 out of 3 in their most recent series against South Al, but they're still one game south of 500 overall, 19-20. UL is 8-7 in Sun Belt Conference play. Tonight takes on special significance for a couple of other reasons. One, these teams are on short rest. LSU Thursday welcomes in Florida, rematch of last year's best 2 out of 3 national championship, or 2 years back at least. And then UL takes on Texas Arlington on the road starting Thursday. The Roadrunners currently the Sun Belt Conference leaders at 11-4 in conference play. But also significant, as this will be the final game played between these two for now, as part of the Wally Ponev Jr. Classic. Next year, we know that Tulane slots into UL's place, and frankly, I think there are a few reasons for that. You'll recall there was some unpleasantness last year, right? LSU goes to Tulane. They don't like the fact that for the visiting fans, the ticket prices were jacked up. I think there were some streaming prices that were raised. Basically, there was some hell that was raised by the LSU side after that game. And so for the first time in, boy, I don't know, maybe quite literally a century, LSU and Tulane aren't playing each other this year. Not in Baton Rouge, not in New Orleans. And so wouldn't you know it, the way that the political sporting gods in this state work, and if you understand them, let me know. I never have and I never will. The Will Wade thing is just another example of that. Another story for another day. But LSU and Tulane don't play this year, and so naturally, instead of getting the band back together for a home and away next year in 2020, Tulane's just going to move into this game. But it's important to remember Wally Ponev Sr., who led off our 4 o'clock hour, a former assistant coach for the Green Wave. So he's got love, obviously, and he should, for that program. But there's going to be a switcheroo in opponents next year for LSU. So get your Cajuns Tigers fix while you can at this venue and in this game. I think it's a safe bet that you'll see the purple and gold against the vermilion and white, probably more likely at the box than at the Teague, although, wow, weren't there some awesome fireworks when this one was played inside Russo Park last year, a 4-3, 10-inning thriller. So get it while you can. LSU NUL at the Shrine on Airline. Again, you'll be able to hear every single second of it here on Acadiana Sports Station. Chris Blair, Doug Thompson, 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock your first pitch. And that same time, you'll also be able to see it. It's a Jumbo Sports Network production on CST. So live broadcast tonight from a Hall of Famer in Lynn Rollins. And then Ronnie Rantz providing the color analysis. Again, Ronnie will be our guest today at 6:15, just a hair more than an hour from right now. So we got a lot more to get to, including on the other side of this break, an interview with Ryan Terrio, and he knows this series, right as it was starting to get toward the point of being heated. Ryan ended up parting ways with the program in 01 as he was drafted by the Major League Baseball ranks. But 02, we know, is when this thing really, really got hot. And so what was it like leading into that era? What does he remember best and most fondly about playing with his friend Wally Pontiff Jr.? And then this LSU baseball team, are they angling toward the type that can do what Ryan's 2000 team did? Take it home in Omaha. So a lot to get to. Excited to talk with Ryan Theriault on the other side of this break. And then at 5:45, Phil Devey making his mark on the Hub City in a lot of different ways as a businessman, a philanthropist, and he is UL's all-time leader in strikeouts by a pitcher. How about 353 career punchouts for the Canadian from Quebec? He did it between 97 and 99, and he'll join us, Phil Devey, at quarter to 6 o'clock. So we are loaded up today. A lot of great guests coming at you soon. Don't go anywhere. And then the baseball follows us. A special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports just beginning and scratching the surface of Hour 2 live from the Shrine on Airline on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
All right, revving up and right back into the Shrine on Airline. Special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports rolls on 103.7 The Game. Both teams so far fairly tight-lipped about starting pitchers. We now have the Raging Cajuns. Tony Robichaux going to send to the bump. Logan Savoie, sophomore lefty, when we know on LSU, then you will. Let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to bring aboard Ryan Theriault, LSU, 99-01. A national champ in 2000 and a two-time World Series champ, once with the Cardinals, once with the Giants. The Riot, how are you, my man?
Ben Love, what's going on, my man? I appreciate you having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on in the Acadiana area. I got to start with this. You played in a couple of these games, obviously not the Pontiff Classic, but LSU versus Cajuns games. It was starting to bubble toward the surface during that time. What are your fond memories of that, if you will?
I was actually a verbal commit to the Cajuns, believe it or not. My brother played there and have a great relationship with Coach Babb and all the guys over there. You know, and they had some good teams, man. We went to Omaha, both LSU and UL went to Omaha when we were there. Now, the reason why they lost is because they all dyed their hair, and that was stupid. So had they not done that, I think they would have been in better shape.
Are there any baseball traditions that you do like and that you do believe in, or is it just the bleached hair that'll get you every time?
Yeah, bleached hair is an absolute no-no in my book. I don't know, like if I had a couple hits or a big game, man, I would try to eat the same thing, you know, the following day, stupid stuff like that. You know, but as far as like wearing, you know, the same socks or something like that, no, I didn't really buy into that too much. I did try to stick with my routine. Pre-game, you know, like batting practice routine, whatever it is that I did in the cages, if I was going good.
All right, I'm going to treat you like an old man and ask you if you remember something back in the day. And I shared this with Wally Pontiff Sr. earlier in the show, man, but April 2001, right here in front of me, at what was then Zephyr Field, LSU beats the Cajuns 12-7. You led off, had a three-run triple in the game. Wally Jr. batted third and scored a run. I had to go dig that up earlier, and it was a mind blow for me. Do you remember it?
No, I don't. I don't remember a whole lot. Moscona always makes fun of me because I don't remember anything like as far as like certain plays and stuff that happened for my career. I mean, I do remember teammates and teams and you know. Like an overall, like bird's eye view, but specific things I do not remember. I'm sorry.
No apologies needed. He's done a lot in his career. He is Ryan Theriault, good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. If you're not following him on Twitter, do so at rTheriault7. I'm sure what you do carry are a lot of memories of friendship, being a teammate with Wally Pontiff Jr. What can you tell us about time spent with him, not just on the field, but traveling? I mean, inside the dugout, in the locker room, your relationship with Wally Jr.
You know, we saw Wally's greatness on the baseball field. I think everybody did. You know, to come to LSU and contribute the way he did as a young player, as a freshman, on a really, really good team, and then obviously to do it again as a sophomore and a junior. And you know, to go out there, he had a lot of hype and fanfare. People don't realize that. But to live up to that hype and fanfare the way he did is truly amazing. But, you know, knowing Wally a little bit differently, as good of a ball player as he was, he was a better person. I would say truly caring about his teammates. And when I think about great teammates and the traits that I want to instill in the guys that we train over here at Traction at Play Force, you know, that's one of those things, man, to love your teammates as much as you can and want them to succeed as much as you want yourself to succeed. And Ben, Wally did that. I mean, he was the first one out of the dugout to congratulate you when you did well. When something didn't go your way, he was the first one to pick you up. You know, leadership quality at a young age, it's very rare you see a freshman be able to come in and lead. Wally had that. He had that ability. And, you know, just a special, special person all around. Like I said, you got to see the baseball, but there was a lot more to Wally Pontiff Jr. than just baseball.
Ryan, like you, I grew up in Baton Rouge, but when you come to not just Metairie, but the New Orleans area, it's even more incredible. I think the way that Wally Pontiff Jr.'s name, his name rings out, and the Pontiff name in general. I mean, how much have you run up against that when you travel to the Big Easy?
Absolutely. You know, Nick, obviously great career at LSU. You know, Big Wally's a legend. I still talk to Big Wally probably, you know, once every 2 or 3 months. Yes, amazing people, great people, like you said. But I mean, just that when you think about baseball in New Orleans, the first name that comes to your mind is Pontiff. And, you know, it's funny. We have a nice little high school program here, and I called Big Wally. I said, hey, man, I need some players in New Orleans. He said, I got you, big guy. Give me about 30 minutes. Next thing you know, you know, he's got 4 or 5 names of 5-star baseball players in the New Orleans area, so they're just so tied in. You don't get that way by doing people wrong. You know, when you're a good person, I think people gravitate toward you, and that's what those Pontiffs do.
Another few moments with Ryan Terrio on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We mentioned your World Series runs, 2011 with St. Louis, mm-hmm. 2012 with the San Francisco Giants. How different or similar were being on those two teams?
You know, very similar. I get asked that question quite a bit. Not super talent-laden, either one of them. You know, you had your good players. I wouldn't say we were the most talented, either one of those teams that I'd ever been on. You know, the Chicago Cubs in 07 and 08 were just absolutely loaded. The similarities in those two teams, as well as LSU in 2000 when we won the College World Series, was there was a genuine care in the locker room. Guys went out to dinner together. You know, you'd hang out with your teammates quite a bit, got to know your teammates. It was a family feel. You know, it didn't matter what part of the country you were from or if you were married or single. I mean, everybody was just friends and buddies. And in the major leagues, man, it's such a long season. So you're almost forced to be friends with the guys in the locker room. It wasn't a force for those two clubs. And you know, also there at the end, in both 11 and 12, there was a ton of adversity for both of those teams as far as facing some elimination games, and you really saw some guys step up that you know, hadn't necessarily done it throughout the season, but it meant so much to them. And man, to win the World Series back-to-back, talk about amazing, and definitely a dream come true, and something I'll never forget.
LSU football is pretty fond, as you know, of calling themselves DBU. Would you make a case that LSU baseball is heavy on one position or the other? Is it middle infield you when it comes to sending guys to the show?
Man, I think we've done pretty good. I mean, you go all the way back to Jeff Rebelet and you know, one of the guys that I kind of idolized as a kid. And Reb had a great major league career, I think 16 years. And, you know, Andy Sheets and Russ Johnson and Brandon Larson and you know, myself. And Aaron Hill, you know, Bregman. I know I'm probably forgetting a couple guys, but you got Josh Smith there now who's poised to play professionally as well. And I would say probably middle infield you. Now, Alan Dunn has done an amazing job getting some arms down there, so I think you could probably make a case for starting pitcher you as well, but I'm kind of partial to the middle guys, so let's just say shortstop you for now. How about that?
I like it. And look, we'll wrap up with this. Talk with Ryan Terry on 103.7 The Game. In less than 30 minutes, we'll have Phil Devey on the program. Pitch for the Cajuns, 97-99. He said, yeah, we'll talk a little LSU-UL smack. Is there any of that left in you, or is that all just vacated from your system?
Man, look, there was I never had like a felt a rivalry there, man. I loved you. I loved the Cajuns. Like I said earlier, I was friends with the coaches. I grew up as a kid going to their camps. You know, so the baseball camps in the summer, I'd do LSU, and then I'd do UL. My wife's from New Iberia, so I've got a camp down there at Sycamore Point that I share with my in-laws. And, yeah, it's nothing but love for me, man. I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't like playing the Green Wave. Now, that's a different story. I'm talking Tulane, and I got some action for those guys.
I like that a lot. Hey, keep doing what you're doing over at Traction. I'll let you tell your listeners on the way out just some of the strides that you, Mac Chewilly, and all the guys are making. Really cool. Breaking ground over in Hattiesburg, I saw.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, to be able to provide, you know, the facilities that we do for the little guys is a dream come true for us. You know, we train professional athletes. I'd say roughly 200, 300 professional athletes come through strength, conditioning, speed development. And then, you know, the youth side is something that's, was a passion play for us initially, and then now this thing has grown so much to be playing on, you know, turf fields at a 52-acre complex for a T-ball kid is really cool. And so, like you said, we'll be in Hattiesburg the end of this summer, and the expansion is going to kind of keep going from there. Love to take it to New Orleans if we can. So we're kind of looking around, and we'll see what happens.
Ryan, keep building and growing. Thank you again for doing this. We're looking forward to Tigers versus Cajun. Thanks for doing this with us.
You're the man, Ben. Thank you.
He's Ryan Terrio. And they really are doing some awesome things. If you listen to this program, you've heard Mac Chewilly. He comes on, talks about the guys that they get ready all the time for the NFL Combine. So on the baseball side of really their organization, it's pretty incredible. And a number of those kids that they train are going to be playing in this ballgame tonight. Here's what I can tell you. The Cajuns are here, warming up right now. Black hats, black tops, and the gray pants with the red stripe. And since LSU, I told you, there might be a little bit of uniform trickery. They're rolling out now in the white unis. White tops, white bottoms, and the purple hats. We got plenty more to go. It's a special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live from the Shrine on Airline, and we're brought to you by a host of great local companies in the Acadiana area, a group that includes Adam Andrews with Katie Real Estate, Gaddy's Pizza in Crowley, Eunice and Jennings, Nolan's Lawnmower, Louisiana Hot Stuff, Acadian Pond, First Turn in Scott, Lafayette Marble and Granite, and Metters Kitchen Supply. Love talking shop with Ryan Terrio. It's even more fun off the radio. You'll just have to take my word on that. We got Phil Devey coming aboard. A little less than 20 minutes from right now, on the other side of this break, we'll throw a little bit of shade, just something we do in the 5 o'clock hour. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Metairie on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You gotta love good old fashioned journalism and good reporting. The guy sitting to my left, he just did some, and now we know LSU's starting pitcher tonight, plus the general strategy. It doesn't really deviate much from what we expected. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in to the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game. Let's back it up. We already told you Logan Savoie will get the pill tonight for Tony Robichaud and the Cajuns, sophomore lefty. How long he will go, anybody's guess. More than three or four innings, I'd probably be surprised. according to James Moran, editor of Tiger Ag Magazine, and a guy that you might just hear Fridays at 5 o'clock on our program, Todd Peterson. He'll stop hitting nukes, and he will start tonight's ball game. He will only pitch one inning. That is the plan. So it'll be Logan Savoy versus Todd Peterson. Nobody had that on their big board. Peterson will go one inning tonight. According to Moran's report, Paul Maneri says everyone who pitches tonight won't be in for very long. Chase Costello might be the only Tiger to go multiple innings. So again, pound the over on the number of pitchers. Pound the over on the amount of time it takes to play this ball game tonight. That's just a healthy guess at this point. All right, it's time for our daily rite of passage. Time for your daily reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. Know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and how beautiful that is in 2019. Alex will put up the shades and awnings while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
It feels way too easy, Ben, to go towards the Golden State Warriors, a team that feels like they are going to wind up just rolling through the NBA Finals, but they wound up suffering one big roadblock after another. They wound up losing Boogie Cousins, possibly for the entire duration of the playoffs due to a quad injury he suffered in the contest. And then they also blew a 31-point lead last night. My goodness, I have never seen anything like that in my life, seeing a team blow something like that. Sure, we've seen a 3-1 series lead be blown, but this is a whole different level in the first round of the postseason to the Los Angeles Clippers. Are you kidding me? The Los Angeles Clippers, who just feel like they are one step forward, two steps back in terms of an entire franchise. And I think it's just the entire thing is just a mess right now, tied up 1-1 after heading into game three. I feel like the Golden State Warriors need to get it together and step their game up in a big way, game three. But I'm throwing shade more at some of the players. They want to have an interview with 60 Minutes, and there's a quick preview of it up right now online. And it's pretty clear KD and Klay Thompson want to get out of Dodge when the season's all said and done. And they asked them the question. They basically didn't want to show a whole lot of emotion, but they wound up doing so. And I got to throw shade at that because, honestly, you've been part of that franchise for the last couple of years. Kevin Durant jumped ship to join this quote-unquote dynasty. Klay Thompson's been there for a while, been a key cog in that. But, you know, if you want to leave, at least say, hey, you know, we're definitely going to wind up exploring things. I'm trying to think of the proper term right now. Don't tiptoe around the big subject. You gotta say what you want to say when it comes to that. And if you're going to leave, then leave. That's basically my whole thing on that.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
That was a hell of a carbactic moment for me. I just felt what it was like to get cut off by you. That's what it feels like to be you every single day when I do it? Okay, now I'll know better, Clint. But I'm right there with you on Golden State because them losing a game, the 31-point comeback, it's food for fodder on segments like this, but they'll be fine in that series. They'll beat the Clippers. I don't even think the injury to Boogie Cousins will deter them from winning another Larry O'Brien trophy. Now, what's intriguing, as I am at least adjacent to the Crescent City, right, in New Orleans, after what Boogie Cousins did, turned down $20 million a year to go take $5 million, I think some people here have been putting some of the gree-gree on him. They might just have some pins in the voodoo doll, so the injuries they may take credit for. But the last thing you said I think is the most salient, and the idea that it's easy to build a championship roster, it's not. But it's even harder once you've done it to keep one together, right? And that disease of more, that disease of me starts to creep in. So it doesn't surprise me that Kevin Durant may look for greener pastures. I am at least a little bit surprised to hear that about Klay Thompson. I think for so long I've considered him to be maybe a little bit the opposite of somebody like a James Harden, just for example. Harden and his agent weren't content with him being a sixth man for Oklahoma City, and now we understand why. You know, he's the reigning MVP, has a chance to do it again. Guy's a stud. He wanted to go out and show his wares as the guy. He did. I didn't think that that was really as much in Klay Thompson's DNA, and I'm not telling you I think less of him, but it's just harder to keep it together. And so for our callers yesterday, in the middle of a Tiger Woods heavy show, LSU reinstates Will Wade heavy show, a Dustin Diamond Poirier wins the UFC lightweight title heavy show, and we had callers wanting to talk about the Warriors yesterday. Is it bad for basketball? Well, you might just get your wish. They may not be the crown kings atop basketball without much rival for all that much longer. Not a bad one, CD. Not bad at all. Right now, the Cajuns taking a little bit of BP. Again, we're getting closer to first pitch at 7 o'clock. The pregame show at 6:30. Cajuns will be in the black unis, gray pants, and the black helmets at this point. On the other side, LSU in the whites, top, bottom, and the purple hats. Excited to watch this one go down, and we'll get you even closer to our first pitch. On the other side of this break, Phil Devey, all-time strikeouts leader in Raging Cajuns history, psyched to bring him on the program, and a Canuck from Quebec. Don't go anywhere. I promise you won't regret it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to the Shrine on Airline in Metairie on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Welcome back out to Metairie. Earlier this hour, Ryan Terrio gave you the LSU side of things. Right now, time for some Raging Cajun flavor. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game. Our pleasure to bring aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Phil Devey, UL all-time strikeout leader, compiled 24 wins in the vermilion and white, and All-American in 99, and a member of the 2004 Team Canada squad that finished fourth in the Summer Olympics. Phil, welcome aboard. It's great to have you here. How are you?
Man, great. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's a pleasure, and I'll start by asking you this. LSU UL has meant a great deal over the years. Between 97 and 99, what did it mean to you and that era of Cajuns?
Man, I to be honest with you, when I came here, I had no idea who LSU was. I had no really no idea how strong they were in baseball, but I didn't know anything about the area, didn't know anything about the school. But over the years, I certainly got to formulate my own opinion and enjoy every time the Cajuns get to play the Tigers.
And I'll back it up a little bit. A lot of our listeners will know this story, but for those that are uninitiated, how did a youngster from Quebec, Canada, get down to Cajun country?
Try to get the simple route. My mom is a French teacher, came here for a teacher's conference, made it a point to meet the baseball coach, knowing that I just wanted to play baseball in the U.S. somewhere. And got his business card. I called him for about 2 weeks every day until he got tired of hearing from me. And he said, look, you want to come down here, you come try out. I flew in, learned about the Cajuns program on the flight, brought my hockey equipment in case I didn't make the baseball team. I was going to walk across to the Cajun Dome and beg for a tryout with the Ice Gators, but fortunately made the baseball team, and that was it.
Phil Devey, our guest on 103.7 The Game. We're getting you ready for LSU and the Cajuns, live from the Shrine on Airline. What were some of the biggest life lessons, or maybe there's just a singular one, that you would take away from your time under Tony Robichaud?
There's a million of them. We'd be on the show for the next 8 hours if I could tell all the stories of things that I learned from him. Probably the biggest one is the amount of work and preparation involved in achieving success. That was a quick eye-opening experience for me. My first day that I showed up, He really presses on the amount of work and the dedication and the sacrifice. And you've got to continue that pursuit. It's not going to give you instant success, but if you keep pushing through and keep pushing through, at some point you're gonna accomplish what you're looking for. So that served me well over my baseball career, and it served me well over my business career.
Phil, I think a lot of times we look at head coaches and we know that they have this huge umbrella of things they have to look over, and maybe we take for granted their area of specialty. As a pitching coach, what makes Tony Robichaux so special?
The mental side was the biggest thing. We talked mechanics and we talked pitch selection, but the mental approach was the biggest thing that he brought to the table and the biggest thing that he taught me, without a doubt. And I think if you ask most pitchers that pitched under him, they'd all say the same thing. And really, when you're at that level, at the college level especially, you know, in high school, college, and professional, the mental part of the game is the simple. Everyone's got physical tools, but the ones that are mentally the toughest are the ones that are going to be successful.
Outside looking in, Phil, at this year's team, what's the biggest adjustment for somebody like Gunnar Leger? I know he's dealing with his own fatigue issues, but as you move from a starting pitcher into the bullpen, especially toward the back end as a closer, what's the biggest shift that has to take place there?
Boy, I'm the last person to ask that question because I didn't figure it out myself. Probably my last couple of years professionally, they moved me to the bullpen, and I had some success early on, but it was fleeting. I didn't take to the role well. I didn't feel like my skill set was going to lead us fast out of the bullpen. So, Gunnar obviously is adapting himself, and Gunnar is a veteran, and I've enjoyed watching him since he was a freshman. I can tell the first day I saw him on the film that he was going to be special because he had such poise. So, and he's maintained that. He's maintained that coming in out of the bullpen to close out games. So he's obviously willing to do what he needs to do to help the team. That says a lot about him and his makeup.
Phil Devey, our guest, he was a fifth-round pick of the Los Angeles Dodgers in the 99 MLB draft after his days for the Raging Cajuns. I had the good fortune of watching you speak at a Diamond Club event last year. The first time, Phil, that you walked into the revamped Teague Moore Field at Russo Park, what was your reaction of that cathedral that's been erected?
Well, when I first came here, the field as it existed to me was a cathedral. I was used to playing in cow pastures, and I never pitched off of an actual pitching mound until I got here. So to see what it's become from there, I knew it was going to happen. Coach Robe had talked about it since 98, 99, 2000. He always had that vision of what the field was going to look like. So I knew it was a matter of time before he was going to make it happen, and it's really a testament to him that it's one of the top college parks in all of baseball, and it's great to see that for him in particular because he was able to take his vision, and it goes back to what he taught us that you've got to persevere and work and work. I mean, that was a 15 to 20 year goal that he had set, that he had put forth of his vision, and it took that long to get it done. Had he quit, and he probably had 1,000 opportunities to quit, frustrations with all kinds of different things, and he did it, and I'm so proud of him and happy for him that he was able to build this beautiful ballpark.
Phil, you told us at the onset of the interview that when you got to South Louisiana, you didn't know anything about LSU. You didn't particularly care because it wasn't in your consciousness. So once you got to UL, you enjoyed getting to lace it up against them. What, if anything, do you remember about your opportunities to pitch against the Tigers?
Well, the first time that I pitched, it was my freshman year. It was actually my first college win. Coach Robe was nice enough to put me in with the bases loaded in the fifth or sixth inning to face Brandon Larson and Eddie Furness. So thankfully, I didn't know anything about him, so I couldn't be scared. But the atmosphere was unbelievable. And we ended up winning. and that was my first college win. Got to hear some great smack from the stands. One guy was calling me Rick Moranis, which I thought was pretty funny since I'm Canadian and so is he. And but no, it's from those days. I pitched against him twice my sophomore year and didn't get a chance to my junior year. But it's a great atmosphere. It's a fun battle. When I say I don't like LSU, it's fun to have a rival. It's fun to talk smack. And the best is when you can lace it up and go toe-to-toe against another team that's so accomplished like them. That's what you play baseball for. You want to play against the best. You want to show what you can do against the best. And we've had some great battles, and I've enjoyed them all.
Yeah, they're expecting 9,000 to 10,000 here tonight, so hopefully we'll have more of the same. Phil, we'll get you out of here on this. For those that are listening that don't know what you're up to these days in Lafayette and the surrounding Acadiana area, catch them up.
Well, I got into real estate and I got into the restaurant business. We just opened a new restaurant in town called Chopsticks, fresh Asian cuisine, kind of right next to the Whole Foods and the shopping center on Ambassador. So that's been a fun experience and something new. And, all these things are really a product of my baseball life and what I've learned through this sport. You give it your best shot, you prepare the best you can. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but it wasn't because you put your best foot forward. So, I feel happy with the restaurant and our service is good and our food is good. And we're going to do the best we can to make it work. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, when I'm in my 80s and 90s on a rocking chair, I'll never be able to say, I didn't try. Because I certainly did to get here to Louisiana to play baseball and play in college and play professionally. And I certainly did try through my professional career, through my business career. And that's all you can ask.
I love it. A testament to connections made, lessons learned through baseball, and a lot of positive reviews around town buzzing when it comes to Chopsticks. I know you got things going on, Phil. I think you're coaching later tonight, so I appreciate you stopping to do this. And we'll be thinking of you when we watch LSU Cajuns. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Right now we're training the next generation of Raging Cajuns on the baseball field.
There you go. That's Phil Devey. And, yeah, he's got a 12-year-old's game. I think he's coaching. So we had to get him out for 6 for the start of that game. And how cool was that? The guy's Canadian, and somebody hit him with Rick Moranis as smack from the Alex Box Stadium one day. That was the idea of what was going to get to him. It's actually not terribly bad. Enjoyed that interview immensely. We are 2 hours in. Got 30 minutes more to go. Got to thank our sponsors one more time for sending us here to Metairie. It's a group of local businesses that includes Louisiana Hot Stuff, Gaddy's Pizza and Crowley, Unison Jennings, Nolan's Lawnmower, Adam Andrews of Katie Real Estate, Acadian Pond, First Turn and Scott, Metairie's Kitchen Supply, and Lafayette Marble and Granite. We'll be right back in with the full report on tonight's game and Ronnie Rance at 6:15. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll from Metairie. This is hour number 3 of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love hanging out at the Shrine on Airline. A little less than a half hour to go as we're getting awfully close to the 16th playing of the Wally Poniff Jr. Classic. Got to thank the famous Clint D. from moving us along. Inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, we know the starting pitchers. LSU going to go with Todd Peterson, not on the back end, on the front end tonight. According to James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine, Peterson will get the start. He will pitch one inning. Everyone else from there, per Moran's report from Paul Maneri, will go, well, not very long. Chase Costello might be the only to go multiple innings tonight for the purple and gold. As far as the vermilion and white, Logan Savoy, sophomore lefty, will get the start for Tony Robichaud and company. I would expect him to go longer than Todd Peterson. How much longer? Your guess might just be as good as mine. We do have the full LSU lineup card up tonight. Let me get you that now. We'll go top to bottom. Smith will lead off and play shortstop. DiGiacomo will be in the two-hole and play right field. Duplantis, former Lafayette High Mighty Lion, will bat third and play center. Daniel Cabrera in left field will clean up. Broussard, batting fifth, will play second base. Cade Beloso will play first and bat sixth. Saul Garza will DH and bat seventh. Drew Bianco, batting eighth, will play in the hot corner. Mathis will catch and bat ninth. And as we told you, Peterson will pitch. And this is pretty wild. When you look at extras, right, or reserves, guys that might possibly play and not pitch, you only have three. And so LSU with 11 position players healthy enough to go tonight. Mineri is estimated 23 healthy players tonight on his roster out of what is normally a 35-man roster. So Savoy versus Peterson, a couple of guys you wouldn't have necessarily pegged for a role like this, but LSU on the other side hoping that it can get past some of the injuries that, well, it's been plaguing this team, and it's not just on the mound lately. You look at the lack of Zach Watson and some of the guys that normally drive this thing, right? The engine offensively, they'll be without them tonight. So I'm still anticipating a game that might just take quite some time. I've been setting the over-under at about 14.5 total pitchers in this game when you look at the two sides and add them up. I'm wondering if the game ends by 10 p.m. Well, we hope so. Of course, you can listen to it here on Acadiana Sports Station, and you can watch it. Ronnie Rance will join us momentarily here in the press box along with Lynn Rollins on CST. One thing I do know is there are definitely some future pros that will be playing here on this stage tonight at the Shrine on Airline. And speaking of future pros, well, how about an update for our LSU fans on a former Tiger and a guy that was a top five finisher last year in the AL MVP race. Figured this would be significant to you. Stroh's hat off yesterday. They'll play again tonight. First of a two-game set at Oakland, and then they'll play three Friday through Sunday at the Texas Rangers. But how about an update on Alex Bregman before we get to Ronnie Rance in the next segment, before we get to the baseball tonight? Just thought you'd like to know, because yesterday we got some good scoop from our guy Chandler Rome, Houston Chronicle beat reporter covering the Astros. Here's what he had to say on a guy who played in this Pontiff Classic several times, where he's at coming back from a hammy injury now.
Yeah, I don't think it was a serious injury, but I think the Astros have the luxury of having a lot of different infielders in the way that they can move their infield around. They just didn't want a chance with him. So I don't think it's anything to monitor throughout the year. He had a more major hamstring injury in 2016, and he's adamant that this is nowhere near what that was. So I think long-term he's okay, but obviously I think fans are more used to him producing a little bit more offensively. But he's when you don't play for two or three days, it's hard to get back into the rhythm, and he hasn't maybe had the – he had a couple of games here and there out on the homestand where he really was hitting the ball well. You could tell he was locked in, but he's been a little bit inconsistent for Alex Bregman's standards at the beginning of the year, and I think the hamstring may have had something to do with that. But you got to remember, he's hitting at a part of their order where he's got to be pitched to, because Jose Altuve's hitting in front of him, Michael Brantley and Carlos Correa are hitting behind him, so he's going to get pitches to hit. It's just going to be one of those things where you've got to keep the ball in the air, but on a line. When he starts elevating the ball, when he starts getting under balls, it's not really what you want from Alex Bregman. He wants to be a guy that is kind of a line drive hitter to all fields, keeping his swing level. And when you see him doing that, he's locked in offensively. And I think the last couple of games, you've seen him get under a couple pitches, elevate some, hit some fly balls up in the air, and that's not what you want from him.
Like I said, just a base we hadn't hit yet today. We've been all over LSU-UL baseball, coming into a game where, who knows, 15, 16 combined pitchers may go. A couple of future pros certainly will be out here. Glad you got your update on a current pro in Alex Bregman. All right, we got to hit our final break in today's program. I told you already, Thursday, I'll be out at the Taproom River Ranch. Don't forget, this Friday, that's right, Good Friday, I'll be at Ruffino's on the River, 921 Camellia Drive. They've got a special Lenten appetizer ready for you to join us in the bar area. couple of special guests I'll be able to tell you about sooner than later. It's a special edition of B2BS this Friday. We'll be back from Metairie and at Rufino's on the River. Again, that's 4 to 6:30 this Friday. We're coming right back and bringing Jumbo Ronnie Rance with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out in Metairie at the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Back in one final time, and it's been one heck of a show. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Shrine on Airline on 103.7 The Game. We're less than 15 minutes from the pregame show, less than 45 minutes. First pitch, LSU and UL. This is the 16th playing of the Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic. Thrilled to be joined in the press box. He's a busy man. Ronnie Rance, he's going to have the call alongside Lynn Rollins. You can watch this ball game tonight. You get a chance. We advise you do that. It'll be live, 7 o'clock on CST. Jumbo, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, Ben. Glad to be here. Thank you, man.
And I probably should mention, it's not only a CST broadcast. This, of course, is going to be a Jumbo Sports Network affair as well. I know you guys take a lot of time, put a lot of pride into this.
Yes, 16th annual Wally Pontiff Jr. Foundation game. I think we've done 14 of the 16. This event has just grown and grown and grown. In the last probably 3 years, it's been sold out. And the weather's perfect today. It'll be another hardcore sellout. And the last Wally Pontiff Jr. Foundation game between LSU and UL.
It's Louisiana. Obviously, politics are always involved. I hate to see the Cajuns leave there, but I know they're not being shoved out of that door. Yeah. We don't need to go too far down the road there, but no more LSU at Tulane as far as an away game for the Tigers. This kind of fit, knowing the connection with Wally Sr. in that program.
Yeah, no LSU Tulane at all this year for
That's the first time in
I don't know, 100 years or something? I don't know. It's been a long, long. First, LSU baseball has been playing for about 125 years, and I know the first game they ever played was against Tulane. So that's a long rivalry. They're not playing at all. Wally Pontiff Sr. used to coach at Tulane. Actually, in 1986, when LSU went to the College World Series for the first ever time, they beat Tulane in the championship at the box, and Wally was an assistant with the Green Wave. So because that matchup isn't happening anymore, the Wally Pontiff Foundation was able to kind of be Switzerland and make that game happen. Tony Robichaud totally understands. LSU and UL will work out the logistics of playing. They'll still play each other during the regular season, but they're working that out between them. So this is the last go-round, and it's been a great matchup and a great thing for the Wally Pontiff Jr. Foundation because the Raging Cajun fans have really supported this this ball game.
Always well attended with these two. This will be the sixth time they play. The previous five all decided by four runs or less. So you're right. Excellent baseball as well. And I don't mind sharing with you the path I've walked in since I moved across the basin. Moved away from you guys, went to Lafayette. The first one of these shows I did 4 years ago, I was interested in 02, right? The fireworks, these two programs, the rivalry. You watch these games, at least with these two coaches, the way the programs are now, this is an awesomely civil, friendly rivalry between two of the best baseball programs in the South.
Well, you know, time heals all wounds, right? And that was a long time ago. That was just a little spark in a moment. Still a heated rivalry, but two coaches that are well-respected. Over 1,000 wins, both coaches. These are Hall of Fame coaches. These are two of the top 10 winningest, most active coaches in the country. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot with both programs. And this year's game in particular has a lot of storylines. I think this year's game should be sponsored by any hospital because both teams have been decimated with injuries.
You're absolutely right. LSU comes in. Paul Manieri said yesterday 23 healthy players out of a 35-man roster.
That's almost impossible.
How does that affect a pitching rotation? And look, the Cajuns have their own lumps as well, but how do you approach this game tonight if you're Allen Dunn?
Well, you know, and the worst part for LSU is they don't play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we know they're not going to change their rotation they're already moving up their Saturday, Sunday guys one day. So
right.
Thursday is going to be, you know, just Joe Staff, I would assume. Interesting how they'll pitch. Paul Manieri originally said that he'll throw a bunch of different guys. I personally would try to Clay Moffitt has been outstanding this year. And his last time out, he went five innings. Why not give him the ball and say, go get as many innings as you possibly can? And if he goes five, six for you, then you can pitch three different guys to end the ball game. You don't tax your bullpen or your staff for Thursday. That's the way I would go. We'll see what happens.
Makes a world of sense to me. Paul told me earlier on this program he expects nine guys will throw tonight for LSU. So the other people that might want to sponsor this,
I think
any bar that stays open till 4 in New Orleans,
well,
right?
Because this is going to be a long one, folks. Thank goodness my television crew doesn't get paid by the hour. They get paid a daily rate, and I know they're going to hate me because this game is going to go a long time. The other thing is that I think what that also says with Paul Molinari talking about throwing nine different guys is Clay Moffitt's now going to have a bigger role. In the weekend.
This weekend.
He's got to pitch him, you know. And so I think that's probably why he doesn't want to burn him, because who knows? Clay Moffitt might be the Thursday starter.
And we'll remind our listeners, you're right, LSU goes to Florida. I know they're not Florida that we're used to. They're still awfully good. Well, that's Thursday through Saturday. The Cajuns are also on the road Thursday through Saturday to avoid Easter Sunday. They're playing at Texas Arlington, currently the leader in the Sun Belt clubhouse. So both of these teams, only the one midweek game. But, boy, short rest. They're going to play a couple of behemoths on the road.
Yeah, Raging Cajuns, though, coming off of a series victory. That's good. For LSU, they're coming off of a series loss. So it doesn't matter that, this isn't the Florida of old. You just got beat by Missouri, a team that had never beat you in a series, and you never lost in Missouri. So things are different right now while both teams kind of handle that MASH unit. But for the Raging Cajuns, they're feeling a little better about themselves than LSU is right now. They're starting to get healthy and playing better, where LSU's going the opposite way.
I'll take you in the Wayback Machine. This game was played, I think, in March of last year, so maybe 13 months ago. I had to go look this up. A.J. Labus started this game for LSU. Does that not feel like a long time ago?
Yeah, who's that? I mean, A.J. Labus was a freshman last year having a great year. And then he got hurt really the last month of the season. He's out all of this year. That was a guy that they were counting on, a guy out of Florida who was originally headed to North Florida to go play for Smoke Laval.
Wow.
Smoke gets fired. He ends up at LSU and was great for three quarters of the year last year, but unfortunately he's out all this season rehabbing. A
few more moments with Ronnie Rantz, Mr. Sports Shorts. Radio in Baton Rouge, TV. You can watch it in the Lafayette area. You can probably catch it here in Metairie as well, can't you?
Yep, on Cox Cable, Pelican Channel 1013, and Monday nights and Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock.
And he's talking with me today. We're getting awfully close to the pregame show. Something else I found interesting, my annual chat with Wally Poniff Sr., it's amazing the tentacles of that organization and just how much that foundation really does to help grassroots baseball, just to help kids across New Orleans and Louisiana. How has that intersected with your life and your career?
Well, I grew up, my family, my mom, my dad, Gus and Janet Rantz are from New Orleans. Dad went to Holy Cross, mom went to Dominican. And so I lived here until I was 13 years old, and then we moved outside of the city. But a lot of family here, and I played at Lakeview Playground, and I played at a lot of the parks that the foundation has donated to. They've probably donated well over 30 different charities throughout the New Orleans area, and also given UL money, given LSU money, UNO, Jesuit, you name it. And so they do a lot. Of course, LSU's their big donor. They've given over $500,000 to the Wally Poniff Jr. Hall of Fame, which is inside Alec Box Stadium. And this is one of those games that they'll play forever.
It felt like a couple of years ago there was some kind of Ronnie Ford momentum toward this becoming a tournament. Maybe even kind of a round-robin type of affair where you can bring four different teams in. You think that's been halted a little bit? The idea that this won't be the AAA affiliate anymore for the Miami Marlins, does that change anything?
Well, I know that's something that Wally Poniff Sr. would love to see, that they got a whole weekend and were able to kind of bring back the old Winn-Dixie Showdown, if you will, concept. The problem with that is the dome's not an option anymore. After Katrina, they got rid of their baseball turf, so there is no baseball configuration now at the dome. The Strino and Airline is really the only facility in New Orleans, if you didn't play at Tulane, that you could really accommodate this. And if you were going to play this in February, maybe or first week of March, weather could be a possibility. And at the end of the day, look, LSU just doesn't want to give up three home games. They'll give up one. They know some of the money's coming back to them anyway, and it's for a great cause, but they just don't want to give up three home games.
So it works in Houston, but it doesn't work here. Help explain to our listeners maybe the difference.
Well, I think the difference is different dollars, right? You're talking about a major league ballpark. You get a chance if you're LSU, and they'll go to Houston next year to play in that matchup, SEC versus Big 12. because it's the number one recruiting base outside of Louisiana. It's the number one alumni base outside of Louisiana. You're in a major league ballpark. They can close the roof if the weather gets bad. You're on national TV, and you get a pretty decent check anyway. And, oh, by the way, Havens, the minority owner of the Astros, is an LSU alumnus. So I think a little extra finds its way into the Tigers' pocket.
So I got to tell you, I love coming here every single year. This, in 2019, will be the second straight summer I've been lucky enough to do my show. We're scheduled to do it from Minute Maid Park. When Reed Ryan sat in with me last time, the president of the Astros, he mentioned how much he loved Baton Rouge and how close Baton Rouge actually came to having an Astros affiliate. Do you remember that?
I do. L.J. Dupuy, who's the head baseball coach at Baton Rouge Community College, very involved trying to bring minor league baseball for many, many years. They had talked about building a stadium in Port Allen.
Oh, wow.
Right on the other side of the bridge. There was some land. And I mean, that had some traction. There was some real look into it because, obviously, they just had more real estate. And heck, if you've ever been that first exit right there in Port Allen, I mean, it's 5 minutes from College Drive. So anyway, it didn't happen. And that's a shame, but I think at the end of the day, it was pro baseball and Baton Rouge has that struggle. Are people going to support both? Can they support LSU till June and then turn around and support us till, you know, end of September? I think that's always the million-dollar question.
And yet there's no doubt in my mind, as you and I right now look over the Shrine on Airline, formerly Zephyr Field, I think this is the premier baseball event every year in the state of Louisiana. I'm not just saying that because we're here. I get it if you have a super regional in the box at Teague Moore, then that could be a one-off. But as far as something that you can book it every year, this has been spectacular.
Well, it has, and all you got to do is look around, right? The tailgate scene is really nice. Whether they played on a Tuesday or Wednesday, it feels like a Saturday. Folks come out here early. Cajun Contractors is out there with big old spread and, you know, feeding hundreds of people. Everybody else has got their own tailgates. All the alumni groups have their tailgates. It's a special. And then, boy, we just got blessed. The weather today on April the 16th is absolutely perfect. It's a Chamber of Commerce day. Temperature will be about 73 at first pitch. It's going to be awesome.
And you're going to have the call. People can watch it. It's on CSD, a Jumbo Sports Network production. You, along with Lynn Rollins, we'll get you out of here with this one. We love having Lynn on, a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, on our program. And I've asked him before, do you map out some of these sayings that you have? Does it just come to you on the spot? He said it's a bit of a mixture of both. I'll ask you, has he ever caught you off guard in the booth before where you just almost can't help but cackle?
There's times where I'm just a little stuck, you know, like, Rip, did you just say that? But look, I've got probably two all-time favorites that Lynn says. One of them is he's hotter than salsa on sunburn. I mean, that's just a good tried and true 20-year-plus Lynn Rollinism. The other is he's hotter than a Rolex in a pawn shop.
Oh, I like
and,
that.
And that one's my personal favorite. And Bo, by the way, if you want to meet Lynn and ask him to give you the rundown of him, he will be at our Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame golf tournament. It's a 2-day event, May 5th and 6th at the Golden Nugget.
Speaking of salsa, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, that's right. Sunday night, the 5th, we got our little pairings party, and then the next day's the golf. It's over at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. All you got to do is go to lasportshall.com. Celebrity event, Wayne Toups will be there, and we'll have other athletes, Dalton Hilliard and many others. So come on out, check us out, and it's all for a great cause.
Ronnie, you're the best. You can take this hat off, go put the other one on where you produce it, where you go color analyst, where you keep up with Lynn. I don't know how you do it, man, but thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, there you have it. And how the heck is that for a program? It has been a large time today. About 2.5 hours ago, we set sail with Wally Poniff Sr. It's been one heck of a broadcast since. On both sides of the aisle, the purple and gold, the vermilion and white. Heck, we even just talked a little bit of Minute Maid Park Astros with our guy Ronnie Rance. This has been spectacular. And the only way it works, the only way that we power through from the Hub City and the Acadiana area here to Metairie to do a broadcast like this, is with great local businesses getting involved and sponsoring us. So, again, I want to thank Nolan's Lawnmower, Louisiana Hot Stuff, Adam Andrews with Katie Real Estate, Gaddy's Pizza in Crowley, Eunice and Jennings, Metters Kitchen Supply, First Turn in Scott, Acadian Pond, and Lafayette Marble and Granite. 2.5 hours has come and gone. But I'm about to leave you in extremely capable hands. Chris Blair alongside Doug Thompson. Your pregame show is coming up next, and then the 16th playing of the Wally Poniff Jr. Classic. You better strap in. It's a beautiful night for baseball, and we're going to have it all for you right here. Thanks for listening in to Bumper Sports. the Pontiff Classic. Coming at you next on 103.7 The Game. We'll be right back.